Welcome to The Raw Truth with Chef Sharon Fraser. Did you know there are over 900 different diseases caused by mineral deficiency, and some of them could even result in sudden death? Chef Sharon will discuss up-to-the-minute lifestyle changes and shift your thinking toward empowerment. Many opinions you will hear today may be counterintuitive to your current thinking. All we ask is that you have an open mind to the raw truth. Chef Sharon has spent the last 30 years sharing the raw truth with people. She does not mince words and will always tell it like it is. And now, The Raw Truth with Chef Sharon Fraser.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning and welcome to The Raw Truth. It's me, your host, Chef Sharon Fraser. Hey, guys, we have been so busy as a result of you guys continuing to support us on the radio show. We have been working. I wanted to share with you some of the things that have been going on since I spoke to you last week. We had a really great event last Wednesday and Thursday at Bally's, which was the Blacks in Government, sponsored by the Aetna Life Insurance. That was a fabulous event, and it was so successful that they are going to include us in both regional and national conferences because people actually learned something. And people were coming up to me and thanking me, for bringing this information to them that they did not know about. So that was a very, very successful event with future events coming up for us, and we're very, very happy about that. And then tomorrow, August the 5th, my birthday, number 67 for me, happy birthday to me at the Suncoast Hotel and Casino. I'm going to be doing the Large Vision Business Network Consumer Expo, and that's going to be from 6 to 9 p.m., and I'll be doing a raw food demo at 7:15. We're going to have a raw zucchini marinara and a raw curried chickpea salad. So come on down. It's also going to be a meet and greet on the backside of this event. We're going to have meet and greet your local candidates, so come on down. It's a little bit of a political thing, so you can talk to all your local candidates, see who's running, and see where they stand on the issues. So come check us out. That's at the Suncoast tomorrow evening, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 p.m. Then Saturday, September 20th, the American Heart Association, Flavors of the Heart. This is an event at the World Market Center from 7 to 10 p.m., and this will be our fourth year participating. And the purpose of this event, it's a multicultural event, and it's designed to specifically educate the community on how to make healthier choices when you're eating and dining out, how to also motivate restaurants to, to now create heart-healthy dishes and also to help promote the event. Number three is to generate funds for the American Heart and the American Stroke Associations for all the local programs here in Nevada. And fourth is to increase the awareness of the American Heart and the American Stroke Association and its mission. So, for ticket information, you can go to www.foth, which stands for flavorsoftheheart.com. I just wanted to also let you folks know that officially, as of August the 1st, we have closed our Raw Food Express Wellness Cafe because we're moving to a new location. We're going to be located in Centennial Hills, and that is a brand new location that's being built out. We're going to be at the 215 Durango and Centennial Hills Parkway, but that will not be ready probably till around October 1st. So just hang in there and know that we will be posting up the information as soon as it becomes available as to when the new cafe will be open. But we're right down the street from Centennial Hospital. So that should be a really, really fun place to now bring raw food to Centennial Hills. And we are definitely going to miss all of our friends and business associates from the southwest part of town, but it's not that far away. It's exit 37 on the 215 freeway. You guys still can come up and take a peek at our new place. It's going to be the same food, some extra food, and a new menu coming up. So please stop by up there and see us. And like I say, I will keep you posted as soon as I know you will know. Now you know it's my favorite time of my show that I love, as you guys know. It's the, I didn't know that. So today, our topic is going to be zinc. Zinc, atomic number 30 on the periodic table. Zinc is an essential trace element for both humans and animals and plants, and it's also necessary for many of our biological functions, and it plays a crucial role in more than 300 of the enzymes in the human body. Now, the adult body contains about 2 to 3 grams of zinc, and zinc is found in all parts of the body. It's found in your organs, it's in tissue, it's in bones, it's in fluid, it's also found in your cells. Now, muscles and bones contain body zinc, which is about 90%. And you're going to find particularly high concentrations of zinc in the prostate gland and also in semen. So now, here we go. Here are 8 reasons why you need zinc in your diet. Number 1, zinc, vital and critical for both growth and cell division. Zinc is especially important during pregnancy to help the growing fetus because those cells that they have are rapidly dividing. Zinc also helps to avoid congenital anomalies and preterm delivery. Zinc is vital in activating growth, height and weight, and bone development in both infants, children, and teenagers. Number 2, zinc, vital for fertility. Zinc plays a critical role in fertility, particularly in men. Zinc helps to protect the prostate gland from infection or something called prostatitis, and ultimately it protects the prostate from enlargement or prostatic hypertrophy. Prostatic hypertrophy, that's the enlargement of the prostate. Zinc also helps to maintain the sperm count. Zinc is also responsible for the mobility and for equaling out normal levels of serum testosterone. Now, in women, zinc can also help to treat menopausal problems and help to eliminate symptoms that are associated with PMS or your premenstrual syndrome. Number 3, zinc is vital for the immune system. Among all the vitamins and minerals, zinc is showing the strongest effect on all importance of the immune system. Zinc plays a critical role in T cells. So when you have low zinc levels lead to reduced and weakened T cell production, and the T cells now are not able to recognize or fight off certain types of infection. An increase in your zinc levels has proven to be effective in helping to fight pneumonia and diarrhea and other infections. Zinc can also help to reduce the duration and the severity of the common cold, and I think most of us pretty much know that now. Number 4, zinc, vital for taste, smell, and appetite. Zinc activates areas of the brain that receive and process information from our taste and our smell sensors. Levels of zinc in plasma and zinc's effect on other nutrients like copper, manganese, will help to influence both appetite and your taste preference. Zinc is also used in the treatment of anorexia. Number 5, zinc, vital for skin, hair, and nails. Now, zinc is going to help to accelerate the renewal of our skin cells. Zinc creams are used for babies to help soothe diaper rash and also to help heal wounds and cuts. Now, zinc has also been proven for treating acne, a problem that specifically affects adolescents, and zinc has also been reported to have a positive effect on psoriasis and neurodermatitis. Number 6, zinc is also used as an anti-inflammatory agent and can also help soothe skin tissues, particularly those that are caused by poison ivy, sunburn, blisters, and certain types of gum diseases. Number 7, zinc is important for healthy hair. Insufficient zinc levels are going to result in hair loss, hair that looks dull or thin, or even hair that goes gray early. Now, we also learned, in addition to zinc, that more than likely there's a copper deficiency that's tied to the zinc because we've already learned that our minerals are cofactored. So if we're missing zinc, we're missing the other 59, right? Okay. So there are a number of shampoos out there that also contain zinc, and zinc is also used to help prevent dandruff. Number 8, zinc, vital for your vision. High concentrations of zinc are found in the retina. With age, this retinal zinc starts to decline, which seems to play a major role in the development of age-related macular degeneration, which leads to partial or complete loss of vision. Now, zinc can also help protect against night blindness and also prevent the development of cataracts. So you say, so who needs zinc? Everybody needs zinc. Children need zinc to grow. Adults need zinc for health. Growing infants need zinc. Children need zinc, adolescents, pregnant women, lactating mothers, athletes, vegetarians, and elderly people often require more zinc. So where do you get zinc from? We can get zinc primarily from our food. Major sources would be red meat, poultry, fish, seafood, whole cereals, and dairy products. Zinc is most available to the body in meat. Now, you know we're not meat people, so you know we're not purporting and promoting that. But just so that you know, these are sources where you can get it. But we also are letting you know that it is necessary. A balanced diet and supplementation is your best defense. Okay, now we have finished this portion of the show. And now we're going to move on. I'm going to talk to you about my very special guest today. And that is going to be Dr. Karen and Dr. Rick Dina. And these were instructors that I had when I was in culinary school at Living Light Culinary Institute. And their classes were so informative and so on point for me that it led me to be doing exactly what I'm doing now, and that's taking a lot of their raw food science and information and applying it to everyday folks and how we can start to make dietary changes. So what we're going to do, let's talk about their bios first. Dr. Karen Dina. Dr. Karen Dina is a researcher, a health writer, an educator, a health enthusiast. She's an honors educational background in chiropractic, naturopathic medicine from Bastyr University, biology, and human nutrition. She is the co-creator and instructor of the Science of Raw Food Nutrition series of classes at the Living Light Culinary Institute with her husband, Dr. Rick Dina, and enjoys teaching people about the science behind the benefits of whole natural plant foods. Her raw food and health blog can be found on her website, rawfoodeducation.com. She has been a featured speaker and a culinary presenter at numerous events such as the Raw Living Expo, the Raw Health Expo, and Living Light's Showcase Hot Chef Cool Kitchen. She's been interested in nutrition since 1988 and has been studying and practicing raw food nutrition since 1990. In addition to presenting and writing, Karen enjoys gardening, exercising, and reading peer-reviewed research. Her husband, Dr. Rick Dina, became interested in nutrition in 1986 and has been studying and practicing raw plant-based nutrition since 1987. He worked at Hippocrates Health Institute and for Juice Man before entering Life Chiropractic College in 1993. After graduating in 1997, he practiced at True North Health Center from 1997 to 2001, helping patients recover from a variety of nutritionally related health challenges with fasting and whole food plant-based nutrition. After teaching at Bastyr University, Rick maintained a private chiropractic nutrition practice from 2003 until 2008 in San Rafael, California, with his wife, Karen Dina. Currently, Rick has a private nutrition consulting practice and is dedicated to teaching a functional and scientifically sound approach to plant-based nutrition, which includes the highly acclaimed Science of Raw Food Nutrition series of courses taught at Living Light Institute in Northern California. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Rick and Dr. Karen Dina. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. How about yourself?
Hey, great. We're happy to be here.
Just fine. I didn't realize when I was reading I had so much information to read about you guys. why don't we do this? Let's do this. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, listening audience, we're going to take a short break. This is The Raw Truth. I'm your host, Chef Sharon Fraser, right here with my very special guests, Dr. Rick and Dr. Karen Dina. We're going to take a short break. Like us on Facebook, The Raw Truth Radio Show. Visit the website, rawfoodexpress.com, or you can check out the blog, rawtruthradioshow.com. We'll be right back.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America. Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to The Raw Truth with Chef Sharon Fraser. To reach our show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to Chef Sharon, spelled S-H-A-R-Y-N-N-E, at rawfoodexpress.com. Now, let's return to The Raw Truth.
And welcome back, everybody, to The Raw Truth. It's me, your host, Chef Sharon Fraser. And just before the break, I was reading the bios for Dr. Karen Dina and Dr. Rick Dina, husband and wife. They are the raw food educators and also of the critically acclaimed science of raw food nutrition that's taught up at the Living Light Culinary Institute, where I went to school. And without further ado, we're back with the doctors. Dr. Karen and Dr. Rick, welcome back from the break.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so today we're going to really get into, for my listening audience, I know you thought for a moment that I had probably forgotten about the raw food portion of our radio show because we've been talking about different medical conditions, so on and so forth, but now I have the experts here in the house, and we're going to talk today about raw food. Specifically, we're going to start with the effects of cooking food. Dr. Karen, take it away.
Thank you, Sharon. To get started here, I think that one of the biggest questions that I get from students is what actually happens to certain nutrients when you cook food? And there's a lot of different nutrients out there, but certain ones are definitely affected more so by cooking than other ones. So I'm going to focus today on vitamins. Now, there's two different types or two different classifications of vitamins. There's the water-soluble ones and the fat-soluble ones. And the fat-soluble ones are not as easily broken down by heat as the water-soluble ones. The water-soluble vitamins would include the B-complex vitamins and vitamin C. The fat-soluble ones would include vitamin A, carotenoids, vitamin D, vitamin E, and vitamin K. Now, the longer that you cook a food, the more vitamins you're going to lose, especially the water-soluble ones. And the higher the cooking temperature, the more vitamins you're going to lose as well. And I have a good example here, which is folate, also known as folic acid. Another name for it is vitamin B9. So it's one of the B vitamins. And what we observe with folate in cooking is that we tend to lose more folate with more heat-intensive cooking methods, like boiling, for example. Let's just say, for example, that you take broccoli florets and you boil them for 5 minutes, you can lose up to 50% of the folate in them. And if you compare that to steaming, which is a much less heat-intensive way of cooking, if you cook those same broccoli florets for 5 minutes, you lose almost no folate. So this is a good example.
Wow.
Good example that shows that more heat-intensive methods of cooking definitely break down vitamins more. And then,
so Dr. Karen, are you saying, for example, if they were to put their broccoli in a steamer versus boiling it in water, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, got it.
Excellent. Thanks for the clarification.
Okay, great.
And then the next one here is vitamin C. And vitamin C, like folate, is a water-soluble vitamin. And we see a similar pattern of nutrient loss with vitamin C. So let's just say, for example, that once again you take some broccoli florets. If you boil those broccoli florets for 5 minutes, you lose up to 35% of vitamin C. And by contrast, if you take those broccoli florets and you put them in a steamer and you steam them for 5 minutes, there's no significant loss of the vitamin C.
Wow.
So pretty amazing. So it's not just about the cooking, it's how you cook it, how you cook the food.
Mm-hmm.
And then my final example here is vitamin E. And vitamin E is a fat-soluble vitamin. And this one particular study that I have here that looks at broccoli florets with boiling, stewing, and steaming showed that boiling after 5 minutes had no loss measured, stewing after 5 minutes lost no measured, and then steaming after 5 minutes lost no measured amount of vitamin E.
Wow.
So what this comes down to is, since vitamin E is a fat-soluble vitamin, it's not going to be as susceptible to heat loss, or should I say loss through heating, as the water-soluble vitamins.
Right, right. So the takeaway here for the listening audience would be, guys, you need to be looking at a steamer and not dropping your veggies into boiling hot water.
Perfect.
Okay, perfect. Okay, take it away. Should we talk now about, we're going to talk about some of the new substances and things that are formed?
Yeah, and that'll be my department there.
Okay,
just wanted to add one thing about the nutrient loss. But if you don't heat your food at all, then you don't lose the nutrients at all.
That's
there
right.
So number one, Dr. Karen explained well that when we cook food, we lose nutrients, and depending on the nutrient at different rates and depending on the cooking method. What also happens is that we form some new substances in the food that were not there prior to the food being cooked. And there's a whole chemical soup of these substances. There's stuff called acrylamide, heterocyclic amines, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, nitrosamines, and a whole host of other things that are going to form in food from cooking. But it depends on the type of food, and it depends on the way it's cooked. So one substance I'll mention first is known as acrylamide. And acrylamide's interesting that it's been known about for many decades because it's actually an industrial chemical used in various industries. So it's used for water treatment. It's used in building plastics. It's used as a grouting agent for pipes and sewers and dams. It's used in paper and pulp processing. Used in cosmetics also. Anyone's heard of acrylic, like that you put on your nails and stuff? That's related to this substance, acrylamide. It's also used in dyes. So because it's used in industry, the people who work in those industries get exposed to this stuff. So its effects on human health have been studied. And it's thought at high levels to cause things like DNA damage and cause neurological and reproductive, negative effects. It's thought by one group says that it's, quote, probably carcinogenic to humans. So they know it's not so good, and they know, though, that it's used in industry, so they want to make sure that the people aren't exposed to too much so they can keep healthy, but industry keeps going on. So just a few years ago, 10 or 12 years ago in 2002, that would be 12 years ago, good at math there. So they were doing a study on acrylamide in Sweden, and they were looking at people who worked in some of those industries where they were exposed to acrylamide versus people similar to them that were not exposed to acrylamide at work. So that was the control group who had not been exposed. And in studying the control group, they found that there was quite a bit of acrylamide in their bodies. Not as much as in the people who had been exposed, but they're like, well, wait a minute. This is the control group. How did the acrylamide get in their bodies if they weren't exposed at work? So they started investigating, and they got together with some other groups around the world, and they found out that acrylamide actually formed in food. Certain foods cooked by certain methods. And that's how it got into their bodies. And as it turns out, acrylamide is found in foods that are high in carbohydrates, because carbohydrates can react with proteins in certain ways when heat is there as a catalyst. So carbohydrates react with an amino acid called asparagine, and that creates this substance called acrylamide. And then when you bring it into your body, it does things that aren't so healthy for you. Now, here's the key, though, with heat. There's a threshold temperature that you have to get to before you form acrylamide, and that is 248 degrees Fahrenheit, which is the same as 120 degrees Celsius. So, for example, if you steam something, water boils at 212 degrees. So the hottest something could get when you steam it is 212. You know, when the steam, as soon as it comes off the water, it's 212, and then it just diminishes from there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you steam something, let's say you steam some potatoes, you will not form acrylamide because you haven't gotten to the threshold temperature. If you took those same potatoes and instead of steaming them, you dunked them down in some really hot oil to make French fries, then you've gone well above 248. You're maybe at, what, 350, 400 degrees. I'm no expert on frying things because I don't do that, but well above 248. And then the reactions occur and you form the stuff called acrylamide that is thought to be cancer-promoting. So when people eat French fries and potato chips and crackers and basically anything that's high in carbohydrates that's been cooked at a hot enough temperature until it gets crispy, you will find acrylamide.
Wow.
Even in coffee, for example, if you go to a Starbucks, there's a sign in most Starbucks that's a warning about acrylamide, at least in the state of California, and I think I've seen them in other places too. Because when they roast the coffee beans, acrylamide forms as a result of the heating process. And then you make the coffee, and then there's acrylamide in coffee.
Wow.
And they have to put a warning up there, you know, this may cause cancer, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
So that's one thing that forms. Another substance I'll mention has a rather complicated-sounding name, and they are called, or excuse me, it's a group of substances known as heterocyclic amines. And they have a recipe and a way to create those also. And the way these things form is when you cook foods at high temperatures, and I couldn't find a threshold temperature that, for this, but, you know, roasting, grilling, pan frying, that type of thing, that these things called heterocyclic amines, which, I'm sorry, I should back up, which are also known to be cancer-causing, are formed in muscle meats that are cooked at high temperatures, because they result from the interaction of creatine, which is found in muscles, and amino acids. And muscles are made out of protein made out of amino acids. So when you cook a muscle, the creatine and the amino acids combine to form these things called heterocyclic amines. And,
wow. So, Dr. Rick, excuse me for just a moment.
Sure.
So basically, any time that people are cooking their meat, they're eating heterocyclic amines because they're usually above that threshold, right?
That is absolutely correct.
Wow. That
yep.
is amazing. Hey, let's do this. Do me a favor, Dr. Rick. Would you hold that thought? We're going to take a short break. Don't you guys dare touch that mouse. This is The Raw Truth. I'm your host, Chef Sharon Fraser. We'll be right back in two.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America. Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to The Raw Truth with Chef Sharon Fraser. To reach our show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to Chef Sharon, spelled S-H-A-R-Y-N-N-E, at rawfoodexpress.com. Now, let's return to The Raw Truth.
Hey guys, welcome back from the break. This is The Raw Truth. I'm your host, Chef Sharon Fraser. And with me today, my very special guests, Dr. Rick and Dr. Karen Dina. And just before the break, we were speaking with Dr. Rick, and he was explaining to us about the difference between acrylamides and heterocyclic amines. And basically, your acrylamides are going to come from any time you're cooking foods that have high carbohydrate levels, and we're going above 248 degrees. An acrylamide is formed, which is a known carcinogen or known to cause cancer. And then he was talking to us briefly about the heterocyclic amines before the break, and this is talking about the meat. So, Dr. Rick, take it away. Let's continue on with heterocyclic amines, please.
All right, to finish up about those. So, for example, about how they can cause problems. It's well known in the research community that there is a direct correlation between red meat consumption and colon cancer. More red meat you eat, the more colon cancer people get. However, if you take that relationship and break it down a little bit further, they say that eating well-done meat leads to a risk 3.5 times greater for colon cancer, that is, compared to consuming rare meat.
Wow.
In other words, same meat consumption, but there's more colon cancer if it's well-done. And the reason for that is they think that when you cook meat a lot, you form a lot more of these heterocyclic amines, and they themselves are actually cancer-causing.
Wow. So I would imagine things like blackening your meat and blackening fish, not a good thing.
That's correct. You form all sorts of heterocyclic amines as well as other carcinogenic substances. And it's kind of a catch-22, because if you don't cook your meat enough, well, then you can get E. coli and
yeah,
food poisoning and other things. But gosh, then you cook it enough, and then you protect from one set of bad guys, and you create a whole other set of bad guys. So
maybe
the safest thing to do is
go vegan. Eat
and, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said maybe that's why we're supporting go vegan.
You know, it's true. Most of these cooked food toxins are, the majority of them are found mostly in animal foods.
Mm-hmm.
Acrylamide is sort of the only major exception. So if we're eating more fruits and vegetables, and especially if we're not cooking them, we're getting all those nutrients, and we're not forming, this whole other set of chemical soup of bad guys.
Exactly. So that's just a little FYI to the listening audience out there, folks. We're working toward getting you more and more and less away from your meat, not only because of the environment, but because now you can see there are chemicals and things like that and byproducts that can be actually deadly to your body. Deadly. Okay, now let's move on. We're going to talk about nutrient concerns that people have about raw food. And then I think you guys are probably going to talk to us about specific vitamins and things like that. So take it away, I believe, maybe Dr. Karen.
So, yes, vitamin D here is probably one of the hottest topics in the health community in general. And an awful lot of people out there are concerned about getting enough vitamin D if they decide to go vegan or to start eat more raw food. And it's important to note that vitamin D, at this point, is the most widespread insufficiency and deficiency in North America. And as I mentioned earlier, some people will use this vitamin D argument to say, oh, you shouldn't become a vegan or a vegetarian or a raw foodist because you could potentially become deficient in vitamin D. But given that this insufficiency and deficiency is so widespread, and when I say widespread, I mean up to 80% of our population is thought to be either insufficient or deficient, this argument is not just for vegans and vegetarians and raw foodists. It's a concern for everybody. And vitamin D is very important for a number of different processes in the body. It's especially well known for having an important role in bone health. It's also very important for maintaining blood calcium levels. And those processes are just, I can't state how important they are. So vitamin D, super important. Now, a lot of people wonder about how much vitamin D our skin can actually make when we are exposed to the sun. There are definitely some concerns with that. The factors that are involved in this would include cloud cover on the day when the person is outside, pollution, sunscreen usage, where they live or what latitude they live at, the season, the skin tone of the person, the length of exposure, in other words, how much time they're out in the sun, and the areas of the body that are exposed, as well as the time of day and their age. So there's a lot of factors that can affect how much vitamin D our skin can actually make. An important thing to note is that sunscreen usage is at an all-time high, and it's understandable. People want to protect their skin from damage from the sun. But it's also important to know that sunscreen, depending on the type and the SPF, can also block the rays of the sun from being able to produce vitamin D in our skin. And if somebody is using an SPF 8 or above, that can block up to 95% of production of vitamin D in the skin.
Wow.
Yeah. So this SPF 40 that people are using is definitely cutting down on the amount of vitamin D that they're making.
Catch 22, what do you suggest, Dr. Karen?
Well, here's what I think. This is what I do. I go out in the sun for about 5 minutes per day, and that's because I have very fair skin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as how much vitamin D our skin can actually make, I have some interesting data on that. Now, if somebody is living at 35 degrees north latitude, which is about Los Angeles here on the West Coast, and on the East Coast, it's about South Carolina. People live, if they live below that level, in other words, south of that level, they have been found to produce vitamin D in their skin year-round. But if you live above 35 degrees north, then the ability of our skin to produce vitamin D year-round is curtailed, especially in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called a vitamin D winter. And this is especially true for people who live in even more northern parts of the United States and into Canada. Now, if somebody is living in the San Francisco Bay Area, and this is about 37 degrees north latitude, if they get 10 to 15 minutes of midday sun exposure, and when I say midday, between 11 and 2, and if they expose their arms and legs during the spring and fall, that can produce up to about 1,500 IUs of vitamin D, and that's about twice the daily value. And that's for somebody who's pretty fair-skinned. Now, if somebody has a darker skin tone, they're probably going to need more time in order to produce that amount of vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line here is that you don't need a lot of sun to produce a good amount of vitamin D. So you don't have to expose yourself to sun to the point where your skin burns. It's just really a small amount.
And also, Dr. Karen, question for you. Do you think, too, that maybe most people in there wanting to get exposure, instead of using arms and legs, they're using their face?
I would actually caution against that.
Yes.
Especially for myself, because people are concerned about wrinkling of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And the ultraviolet B spectrum rays from the sun that are involved in the production of vitamin D are also involved in photoaging.
Okay.
So we need to be careful with that. I always like to keep my face covered. I personally don't use sunscreen. Instead, I use a very large hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then that keeps my skin from being exposed to the sun, or at least the skin on my face. So.
Right, because sometimes I'll see people, you know, taking their break and they're outside and everyone's got their face up to the sun. I'm like, oh, no. That's not the sun exposure we want.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
It's kind of like back in the day when we used to use aluminum foil.
Oh, goodness.
To act as, you know, like a sun carrier for us and, you know, burns like crazy. But in any case, okay, so now, Dr. Rick, do you want to talk to us about vitamin D and some of the lab work involved?
Yeah. I just wanted to make a couple comments. So like Dr.
Okay.
Karen said, you know, lots of people can be vitamin D deficient. It's mostly from not getting enough sun, and I'm sitting in front of my computer right now inside not getting vitamin D, and probably that's common for most people.
Yep.
I did have somebody recently, a long-term raw food vegan, who does not take any supplements whatsoever, and his vitamin D level was very solid. It was like in the mid-40s, and some might argue it should be at least 50. The Institute of Medicine says, well, it should be at least 30. So in other words, some might argue he wasn't quite there, but most of the consensus is that's a very solid level. And for people who are in the sun enough, they get enough vitamin D. And if you're not, you don't. And a vitamin D supplement can cover that. So, and you know, there's a study I talk about in our Science of Raw Food Nutrition classes. Actually, I think it's a new addition since we had you in class, Sharon.
Okay.
A researcher named Luigi Fontana did a study a number of years ago. He's done a number of studies on raw food populations. And he was doing one study comparing raw foodists to a control group. And was looking at bone health, and among other things, he looked at vitamin D levels. And even though the raw foodists didn't get much vitamin D in their diet, because really the major place you get vitamin D is from fish, they actually had much higher levels of vitamin D than the control group because they took some effort and you know, made the effort to get out in the sun semi-regularly.
Wow. I love that. I love when you guys bring the information and the research in like that, because it just validates we're not just pulling this information out of the sky. This is actually, peer-reviewed scientific research done. So, let's see. We've got about, let's do this. Let's take a short break. We're going to take a break a little bit ahead of time, and then we'll pick it up on the back end. This is The Raw Truth. I'm your host, Chef Sharon Fraser, with my very special guests, the Dinas, Dr. Rick and Dr. Karen. We're going to take a short break. This is The Raw Truth. Like me on Facebook, The Raw Truth Radio Show. Visit the website, rawfoodexpress.com, or you can check out the blog, The Raw Truth Radio Show blog.com. We'll be back in two.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America. Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to The Raw Truth with Chef Sharon Fraser. To reach our show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to Chef Sharon, spelled S-H-A-R-Y-N-N-E, at rawfoodexpress.com. Now, let's return to The Raw Truth.
And welcome back, everybody, to The Raw Truth. It's me, your host, Chef Sharon Fraser, and my very special guest, the Dinas, Dr. Rick and Dr. Karen. Before the break, we were talking with Dr. Karen and Dr. Rick about vitamin D, and Dr. Rick was sharing us some information about blood work and so on and so forth. Now we're going to move on to vitamin B12. Dr. Rick, take it away.
All right. Well, vitamin B12 is an extensive topic, but I'm just going to make a few quick comments here in the interest of getting through some of our other topics. So in my lab work practice, I analyze people's lab work for them to see what's really going on, especially with these nutrient concerns. People are wondering, am I good in this? Am I bad? Should I do something? Should I take a supplement? Do I have to eat these certain foods? My thought is, well, let's get you tested and see where you are. So I have tested a number of omnivores as well as a number of vegans and raw foodists, among other things, for vitamin B12. And I have seen omnivores low in B12 and omnivores good in B12. And I have seen vegans low in B12 and I have seen other vegans good in B12. So it's kind of like vitamin D, that it's an issue for everybody. One of Dr. Karen's recent YouTube segments was on what she learned from the Framingham offspring study that showed almost 40% of the general population of the United States is low in vitamin B12. 40%, and those people were omnivores. So it can happen in anybody, and it's very simple. You can take a B12 supplement, or I recently made a YouTube video a year ago, on my personal experience with B12 and trying different green food products. And the bottom line is I was able to actually improve my B12 status, and I tested all the markers, B12, methylmalonic acid, homocysteine, was able to improve my B12 status using a green food product called Vitamineral Green. So anyone interested can go to the Raw Food Education at YouTube and check that out.
And what is it again, Dr. Ritz? Vita what?
It's called Vitamineral Green.
Green, okay.
Yep, and I don't sell the product, don't make any money from it, but it did work.
Okay. Increase B12, huh?
Yes, at least for me, at least once. And I can't recommend for everybody for sure that will work, but it is intriguing. In fact, now I'm intentionally waiting till I get low in B12 again. It's just going to be on paper, and I'm going to try consuming a different green product to see if that works.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's fabulous. I love that. Okay, let's switch gears. Let's talk real quick, if we can, guys. Can we talk about iron?
Right. Let's see. Iron is very important for a number of different processes in the body. The most important would be the transport of oxygen from our lungs to our tissues. And oftentimes people are talking about how oxygenation of the body is so important. Well, iron plays a central role in that. And what I have here is some really good sources of iron from the plant kingdom. Leafy greens and nuts and seeds really tend to be the stars of the show here. And the leafy greens come in one of two plant families. One of them is the cabbage family. The other is the sunflower family. Now, as far as the cabbage family goes, kale is really the superstar here. Like, for example, if somebody was to consume 3 cups of chopped kale, they would be getting about 4 milligrams of iron, and that is excellent considering the daily value. And the daily value for iron for men and postmenopausal women is 8 milligrams. For premenopausal women, it's 18 milligrams. So, in other words, kale really packs a punch when it comes to iron content. And other members of that family, the cabbage family, that are excellent for iron would include broccoli, mustard greens, bok choy, and cauliflower. And then from the sunflower family, we've got dandelion greens, which are excellent. And if someone was to consume 4 cups of chopped dandelion greens, they'd be getting close to 7 milligrams of iron. So that's amazing.
That's almost half your requirement for the day, right?
Absolutely. That is just amazing. So once again, dandelion greens, just like other greens, are incredible. Romaine lettuce is also good. Red leaf lettuce, escarole, and frisée greens. So those would be members of the sunflower family that are excellent with iron. And then as far as nuts and seeds go, sesame seeds, pumpkin seeds, poppy seeds, almonds, those are all great. And then for people who like to consume algae, spirulina is excellent.
Great.
Yes.
Spirulina.
Cool. And I'll just chime in. Iron is, you know, a real basic thing that can be tested for on a basic blood chemistry panel. Even if you don't test iron directly, you can see the effects of it. Dr. Karen mentioned that iron is critical for transporting oxygen around the body, and there's a few basic measurements on a complete blood count, super basic blood chemistry panel that can determine if your body's carrying enough oxygen. And if you're low in iron, you'll see the indicators that you're not carrying enough oxygen. And generally speaking, because I work with a lot of raw foodists who, you know, they're interested in coming to me for lab work rather than going into their medical doctor who's going to tell them, you need to eat meat. You know, they like going to a vegan and raw-friendly clinician to make sense out of all that stuff for them. So iron deficiency is actually not common among vegans and vegetarians that eat whole natural plant foods. If you get a junk food vegetarian that eats lots of white bread and dairy products, they very well may be deficient in iron. But the ones that eat fruits and vegetables, like greens, like some of the foods Dr. Karen just mentioned, mm-hmm. have plenty of iron.
Wow.
Although there's one exception I saw in my practice recently is I had somebody who was on a diet that they refer to as 95-5. It's like a more extreme version of 80-10-10, where 90% of the calories come from carbohydrates, 5% from protein, and 5% from fat. So in other words, in order to do that, you've got to pretty much be a fruitarian.
Mm-hmm.
Because vegetables and nuts and seeds both have considerably more than 5% of their calories from protein and 5% from fat. So if you eat too many of those,
right,
you can't be 95-5 anymore. So they're pretty much a fruitarian. And I had one 95-5er recently who actually had iron deficiency anemia.
Wow.
And her husband ate very much the same way, and it didn't sound symptom-wise like he did, because she loses blood every month, her husband doesn't. So in any case, you got to get a few nuts and seeds in for some essential key nutrients, and you've got to get lots of vegetables in, especially greens. Fruit's great food. In fact, for the last 27 years, the majority of my calories have come from fruit, but it's extremely important to not eat only fruit. Got to eat a lot of vegetables, too, for iron and lots of other important things.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we're seeing, we're out here in Las Vegas, is that, and I know people have a fit when I say this, but whether you're eating organic or not, or conventional, whatever, the nutrition is just not found in commercialized food because it's coming from commercialized farms. And people have to understand that they are going to need to supplement. You're not going to be able to get all of the essentials that the body needs from all of your food. You just have to. And, you know, people go round and round with me about it, and I don't get into arguments anymore because, you know, the proof of the pudding is your health.
Yep.
If your health is fine and you're feeling fine and you're testing out and everything is good, that's one thing. But if you're on a specific type of a diet and you're not feeling it and you're not feeling any better, then something's wrong. You're probably more than likely nutrient deficient.
Yep.
Okay, I think we might have enough time. Let's see if we can hit just a little bit, doctors. Let's see if we can touch on essential fats real quick, okay?
I'll do that real quick. And just, you know, you mentioned testing out. That's one of the things I love. People say, well, this, that, I'm good in this. Well, let's test you and let's see. That's one
let's
of the
see.
Things I love about lab testing. We can see what's going on.
Absolutely.
So real quick, essential fats. There's a lot of confusion about essential fats, especially about omega-3 fats. So real quick, there are two fats that are essential that our bodies need but we can't make. One is an omega-3 fat, the other is an omega-6 fat. Now, there's a whole family of omega-3 fats. There's one called ALA, that's the essential one, and we can get that in plant foods. We can get it from leafy greens, some different nuts and seeds, a little bit in fruit also. And then there are two other omega-3 fats called EPA and DHA. And those do lots of important things, from reducing inflammation to making our brain cells work right to helping hormones work properly. And those two, EPA and DHA, are found mostly in cold water fish. So vegans aren't eating cold water fish. So they have to rely on their body making those out of the omega-3 fat that is found in plants called ALA. And there have been a number of studies out there that have said, you know what, our body can't do that very well. It can't take ALA, found in plants, and convert it into EPA and DHA. Therefore, all you vegans are deficient in omega-3s, and that's what's wrong with you people. Your brains aren't working right. Mm. And what's interesting is we know why the body doesn't convert well. It's because people eat a lot of omega-6 fats found in processed foods. And when you eliminate the excess omega-6s, your body can convert. So that all sounds good in theory. And I've had the opportunity in my practice over the last few years to test about a dozen long-term vegans who do not have an outside source of EPA and DHA. And when we actually look at the fats in the cell membranes in their bodies, we see plenty of EPA and DHA.
Wow.
So it's amazing. Pretty amazing to see,
yes.
And it's good to see, and then they don't have to worry. And if there is a concern, well, then we address it.
Yep, that sounds great. Hey, listen, guys, let's do this. For your listening audience, if you would like to reach or you have any questions or anything for the doctors, you can check out their website. They're at rawfoodeducation.com. They also have classes, the Science of Raw Food Nutrition Curriculum, which is taught at the Living Light up in Northern California. They've also added the Science of Raw Food Part 3, and this is plus an advanced educator certification class. There's also the Science of Raw Food Nutrition online, and you can also check them out on the website. They have a consulting practice, which will also include lab testing. And coming down the pike in the future, they're going to have online classes. They're going to have some e-books, and Dr. Karen's book right now is with the publisher. Excuse me, and you're going to be able to see the doctors at the Woodstock Fruit Festival, which is going to be the second week in the latter part of this month. Hey, guys, you're not going to believe it. This is all the time we have today. I appreciate you spending time with me and the doctors. I hope you learned something today about the science of raw food. Let's do this again next week. And now you go out and get healthy. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Raw Truth. Please join Chef Sharon Fraser again next week at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Now, go and get healthy.